Amy Tan, you've had a successful career as a writer, basically about the Chinese-American experience. Is the point at which a writer about a particular ethnic heritage becomes a success a sign of where they fit into the American mosaic, that you're accepted?
20 years ago or 25 years ago, I think that I was, the breakthrough writer who had suddenly written about a different culture and now is being accepted. But there still was that separation where, the literature was considered Chinese-American literature or Asian-American literature. And I think with these 20 years passing, there has been a change on that landscape, and now I am part of American literature. I have people telling me they've read me in American literature. My stories are always, to me, about self-identity. And so I think that that is an American thing, our self-identity and how we remake ourselves or make ourselves, how we become who we are through opportunities, immigration, whatever, those choices are.
So a book like Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee or some future Iraqi-American writer or Somali writer is somewhere in the works as the sign of another change?
I think it will be. We don't have every cultural group obviously represented. We don't have enough of those. But I think that we'll see that, we're crossing into other lives because we're around more people. Since, 25 years have passed since the beginning of the book, and now it seems like, for example, this seems very trivial, but there's a good Chinese restaurant in almost every major city. But 25 years ago, Buffalo probably didn't have a really great Chinese restaurant, or people wouldn't have known a Chinese person. Now they have daughters-in-laws who are Chinese, or kids who are adopted. And so it's really become part of, the American life itself, the American daily life.
Is there less need to tell a backstory then when you write a book? Although in your new one, there's certainly all kinds of generational backstory.
I think every family has a backstory, and that we're influenced by unknown stories, or stories of families that never immigrated, and that there, and we don't maybe know what they are. Everybody can find those stories, and I think that they would be very interesting, not just because they're part of family legend, but it helps to explain perhaps attitudes and behaviors and beliefs that we have, just understanding ourselves. I found that to be true in myself, looking at Chinese culture, history, that seemed irrelevant to me when I was growing up, but now I see how much that really has been a part of my life.
Is it hard for someone to say Chinese culture or Chinese history when you're looking at, when were the Han formed, 200 BC, 2,200 years of history, a giant country, and we're getting Chinese immigrants from all over the place? Do they have a different Chinese culture and a different Chinese history?
I think that the time that one immigrates to a country has much to do with the culture that they're bringing with them. I write about a culture, a Chinese culture that took place prior to 1949. That is the history that affected me, my parents' time in China. Then they came to the United States. But somebody coming from China now, today, their cultural experience and the history they're bringing with them is quite different. My sisters have a much different cultural history. They went through the Cultural Revolution. They worked in the fields. That then is quite different from something that I would be able to talk about.
Is there ever any resentment from more recent immigrants? You just don't understand.
I have not had much of that. In fact, what I have more of are newer immigrants coming to me and saying, we're so happy you've told our story, even though it's not necessarily their story, even though one writer cannot possibly represent all of one culture, all of one race. But they feel that it opens the door for them to be talking about their stories, I think. In the past, however, there have been people who say, you know, how can you be the one to tell our story? You know, you don't represent us. You have mothers with broken English. You know, that's not who we are. And I was always having to say to people like that, no single story represents a culture. I have to write what's true for me, my own personal truth. I happen to have a mother who had broken English. I happen to have a grandmother who was a concubine who killed herself. Those are the things, that's part of my family history, who I am, my dynamic, and that's what I'm going to write about.
What does the next generation think of that? Or don't they want to hear about their grandparents?
I think it depends on the individual. I know there are a lot of writers who want to write about a different background that they had. Most of the writers that I know of, though, they are fascinated still by their family, their family's past, especially if they have not been to China before or they had just recently been to China. But there is a different sort of writer like Ha Jin, who was raised in China, went through the Cultural Revolution, came to this country, is now an American writer. He writes about, you know, from an as an American writer by through being, you know, through immigration, naturalization. However, his stories are very much rooted in that China that I don't know, I didn't live. It is still part of that new American story, somebody coming from a past that includes that. So I think that we're going to continue to see more stories of different generations like that and giving us a more complete look at a culture, making us realize that not one story, not one writer can give us the full perspective of what it means to be a Chinese person or to be of another culture.
In your new book, it's very much moving back and forth between China and Shanghai and the international settlement and San Francisco and the Hudson Valley.
But
it's your family, more or less.
Yes. There's part of our family that is, it's so rooted in Shanghai. My mother was born there. My father lived there as well. My grandmother was from that area too. And I found out in doing research that they actually lived in the international settlement, which surprised me. I didn't know that they had been in this enclave of foreigners. And so they were very much affected by foreigners living side by side, even though they did not have friends, contact with what I mean by foreigners, of course, are the Westerners who lived in the settlement during those days of pre-1945 China. That time of the glamour and the foreign trade, that was also part of family history. My mother was somebody who went to the nightclubs smoking cigarettes and wearing chinchilla coats, came from a decadent society and rich society where when she had a lover and was thrown in jail, she was in the tabloids every day. And she would tell me, the girls thought I was so beautiful, they would cry for me and think that I was innocent because I was, you know, had this terrible husband. It was a time when there was so much happening that was going to be left in the past, you know, when the communists came and that whole world of Shanghai was gone, was come back. And so you look at what Shanghai was, you look at what Shanghai is today, and you see how there's a continuum. There was a little abrupt stop in the middle, but it's come back again, that international, cosmopolitan, glamorous, big center of foreign trade. It's back again.
Thank you, Amy Tan.
Thank you.